This is Tom Roy with radio news from Waveform's WGXC in New York. News about radio waves, transmission art, wireless surveillance, and other broadcast issues from wavefarm.org. This year marks the 75th anniversary of the War of the Worlds radio broadcast from October 30th, 1938, and the Mercury Theater on the Air and Orson Welles. The radio play was aired over the Columbia Broadcasting System, CBS Radio Network, and was directed and narrated by Orson Welles. The episode was an adaptation of H.G. Wells' novel, The War of the Worlds, from 1898. First two-thirds of the 60-minute broadcast were presented as a series of simulated news bulletins. Wells reportedly played recordings of Herbert Morrison's radio reports of the Hindenburg disaster for actor Frank Riddick and the rest of the cast to demonstrate the kind of mood he wanted.
It's starting to rain again. The rain had cracked up a little bit. The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from... It bursts into flames.
Get it started. It's crashing terrible. Oh, my, get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast, and all the folks between us. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, four or 500 feet into the sky, and it's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the passengers screaming around it. I can't even talk to people. His friends are out there. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, just laying there, a massive smoking wreckage. And everybody can't hardly breathe and talk and screaming. Lady, I'm sorry. Honestly, I can hardly breathe. I'm going to step inside while I cannot see it. Charlie, that's terrible. Listen, folks, I'm going to have to stop for a minute because I've lost the voice. This is the worst thing I've ever witnessed.
Program's realism succeeded, and immediately there were sensationalist accounts in the press about a supposed panic in response to the War of the Worlds, the broadcast. The precise extent of that panic has been debated by historians for years, whether it was minimal or as widespread as some report. In 1926, Ronald Knox had a satirical newscast about a riot overtaking London on the British Broadcasting Corporation, which may have influenced Wells. Wells may have also been influenced by Archibald MacLeish dramas The Fall of the City and Air Raid, the former of which had used Wells himself in the role of a live radio news reporter. Here's Wells at a press conference the next day defending his actions and commenting on the widespread panic.
Of our shows were more intensely dramatic.
Psychological reason, back.
I simply don't know. I can't imagine. I mean, you must realize that when I left the broadcast last night, I went into a dress rehearsal for a play that's opening in 2 days, and I've had almost no sleep, and I know less about this than you do. I haven't read the papers except
the
leading.
What was the first thing you had that something was wrong?
After the
You were aware of terror at the time you were giving this role. Were you aware that terror was going on throughout the nation?
Oh, no, of course not. We did Dracula, and it seemed to me during Dracula I had high hopes that people would react as they do in a movie of that kind, and I don't know that they did particularly, and so I've given up. One doesn't believe in the radio audience much. You don't know that whether they're listening or not. You have no idea how many people are listening and what they're thinking. I had every hope that... that the people would be excited as they would be at a melodrama. But you don't play down the melodramatic effect of a melodrama.
Have you altered your plans for future problems in any way as a result of this incident?
Naturally, we will have to sit down and think very carefully about future broadcasts.
Have you made any specific changes in any programs that were already scheduled, such as next week, for instance?
No.
Mr. Wells,
three short stories.
When you're in a fearless program of Fatima, when you speak about racial disappearance, etc., listening in on this program would know that there was no such thing as Martians.
Well, it would seem to me unlikely that, the people of an invasion from Mars would find ready acceptance. I was frankly, terribly shocked to learn that it did. No.
But primarily,
I'm primarily the.
Mr. Wells, why did you use local towns in this book?
Well, H.G. Wells uses local towns addressing an English audience. I was addressing an American audience, so the transplantation is quite logical. He doesn't use mythical towns; he uses quite real ones.
It was a mythical town,
but it was near enough. It was near enough to a real name. I've forgotten how we figured it out. It's either that it's Grover's Mills, or it is Grove's Mill, or something. And at any rate, we changed it slightly, hoping that that would a thing which H.G. Wells did not do. His names are quite real English towns, without any change name.
I came down from
the yes.
Toward the camera. We've asked you that before.
Ask it loud, very loud.
Do you think, Mr. Wells, that you might have taken unfair advantage of the public in using a method as a conveyance for authentic news?
I don't believe that I have since. It is not a method original with me. It is used by many radio programs. I am terribly shocked by the effect it's had. I do not believe that the method is original with me or peculiar to the Mercury Theater's presentation.
Do you think there ought to be a law against such enactments as we had last night or as a result of that?
I don't know what the legislation would be. I know that almost everybody in radio would do almost anything to avert the kind of thing that has happened,
uh-huh.
myself included, but I don't know what the legislation would be. We simply, radio is new and we are learning about the effect it has on people. Learned a terrible lesson.
Do you think that this will cause the curbing of radio bulletins on the air today?
I simply can't imagine. It seems to me that the effects of this will may have may cause much legislation. I simply don't know. It's the wisdom of radio executives and of an organized public will decide these things for us. It's not up to me to speak. I'm the,
Wells,
the accused.
I was in Europe at the time that Schuschnigg was murdered, and I remember very vividly the time, the way that came through the air. I should say that your presentation last night was even more dramatic and more realistic than the way the Vienna radio station did theirs.
Yes, the intention.
In view of that, don't you think that somebody here would have been able to gauge the reaction which in fact has occurred throughout the United States?
Well, every radio program tries to be more dramatic than life, as every play tries to be more dramatic than life, and every movie, not less so. I would have been surprised if hurt, as anybody would, if they'd been told that a presentation was less effective than life.
Your own view is
quiet. Do you want me to speak now? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Of course, we are deeply shocked and deeply regretful about the results of last night's broadcast. The date of the broadcast was 1939, and it seemed came rather as a great surprise to us that a story, the fine H.G. Wells classic fantasy, the original for so many succeeding comic strips and adventure stories and novels about a mythical invasion by monsters from the planet Mars, should have had so profound an effect upon radio listeners.
That's all.
The date of the broadcast was clearly stated as being 1939. Came, of course, as a great shock to us that the old H.G. Wells fantasy, the classic original for so many adventure stories, romances, and even comic strips should have so profound an effect upon radio listeners. The invasion by mythical monsters from the planet Mars seemed to us to be clearly in the realm of the fairy tale. Deeply regretful that this is not so.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.